Welcome to the Fuller Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Thursday, the 22nd of July, recording at 8:39 p.m. British Summer Time. Well, I felt a right chump, as they say, having covered my stock market shorts for very small profits yesterday at about the high of the day, and very different levels than the rather good profits that were on offer a couple of days earlier. And not to mention this morning, when markets were so weak. Well, markets are full of surprises, at least for this strategist, from time to time. And it's quite good, actually. It prevents us from ever becoming complacent or arrogant. Okay, what do we make of all this action? Well, first, we're seeing some two-way activity in here, because after this morning's sell-off, we're seeing Wall Street rally at the moment, and I'll mention those figures before I move on from here. So, you know, we're oversold in the short term. We saw some breaks in the downtrends, the very short-term downtrends yesterday, albeit very brief breaks. Then we had the big outside days, very sharp fall from the highs on Wall Street yesterday. And European markets, not surprisingly, were poleaxed in here today. Asia, well, barely blinked, and that's impressive, and therein lies the main bull story going forward, I believe, because emerging Asia, which I'm always talking about, is, aside from being the most promising area of the world long-term, in my view, and also happens to be a lead indicator. And having led on the peak in January of this year, and then seen the big shakeouts in the last couple of months, they've been a good deal steadier than the European and North American stock market indices. So there's bullish straw there in that sense. But as far as these European markets are concerned and the U.S. indices, I don't like the technical action. I haven't liked it for most of the year, as you know. And on a very short-term basis, say we are oversold, and we are testing some prior support levels, including that emotive 200-day moving average for the U.S. I don't pay a whole lot of attention to that myself, but because a lot of people do, it has psychological significance, obviously. Now, I hesitated there because I was going to say, well, or I was anticipating the question in some people's minds, well, why don't you pay a whole lot of attention to the 200-day moving average if you say it's psychologically significant? Well, the reason it's psychologically significant is, of course, because so many people do follow it. The reason I don't pay a whole lot of attention to it is because what is a moving average? Any moving average, it's a trend smoothing device which lags by definition. So in my view, the important evidence of a reversal will not be the breach or change in direction for a long-term moving average like that, but will be in the technical action that precedes it. But the point is, as far as markets are concerned, right here and now today, that we're getting a little struggle here between bulls and bears. And I think that bulls can win a round, but not the fight, as it were. Therefore, I think the best we're likely to see is a small technical rally, and I'd be quite happy to sell into that were that to take place. In the meantime, I have a lot of cash, and I keep getting emails coming into the site, people saying how they're mostly in cash, and my goodness, they're mighty relieved to be so. And that's not a bad place to be. And although I'm punting around in a number of markets here with some leveraged positions, I've really curtailed my activity in stock markets very, very substantially, and not just because I'm going on holiday in August, but I've been doing it all year. I've been cutting back and back and back, and I'm mainly in cash, and that feels really rather good, and it can only get better because interest rates are moving up. So be careful. As far as the stock markets are concerned, that's my advice. The only things that I'm still reasonably happy to hold on to are some mining shares, my two leverage positions there in Newmont Mining, which is up a little bit today, or when I last looked it was. Of course, it got hit yesterday on that gold sell-off as the dollar rallied. But I do have an in-the-money stop protecting that, and it's not all that far away from the stop, so there's risk I'll get taken out of that. The other one, which is well above the stop, knock wood, is the Merrill Lynch World Mining Trust. That's the UK sterling-denominated UK listed investment trust for American subscribers. That's a closed-end fund. Okay, so I said I'd mention where Wall Street is, but it having opened downwards and gone quite soft, it's rebounded here. The Dow's currently up 12, it has been higher. The S&P is currently up a 4 and 14 on the NASDAQ composite index. Now, bond markets are a little steadier here today, off the highs as Wall Street has rallied, but that's bolt hole safe haven money. I don't regard the long-dated bond market as a safe haven at all. Matter of fact, I think it's extremely dangerous, and I'm resisting the temptation to go in and short again because the overall pattern isn't all that bad in the very short term. The big pattern, which shows the top formation, the peak coming in June last year, and today we're in a top formation extension phase. And that top back in June last year ended a secular bull market. So I'm looking for a secular bear market in here, thus my interest in shorting it again before too long. I hope it doesn't fall out of bed before I get back from my holiday. I'm talking about bond futures now. Hope they don't fall out of bed before I get back from my holiday at the end of August. Ditto JGBs, the Japanese government bonds, the other one which I've shorted from time to time over the last year, time to time, a couple of occasions. Now, in terms of currencies, I thought maybe we had seen the euros decline against the dollar bottom in here today, yesterday, and today, and that still might be the case, but it's eased back a little bit from the higher levels we saw today. It's currently 122.51, but there is some technical support back at this level. The pattern, the pullback that we've seen so far, has not done any damage to the pattern overall. It is quite consistent so far, but it does need to rally from here to maintain that consistency. I wouldn't be at all surprised if that didn't happen. And in terms of other currencies, well, there's still very much range trading in here, but I would expect that dollar yen 109.79 as I speak, it's got more downside than upside from here, but I emphasize again that it is range bound overall. Most of these patterns are, thus my lack of interest really in putting on a trade in the foreign exchange markets right now. Now, supply and elasticity, that's my favorite area, as you know. And sometimes people say, "Well, David, you're talking a lot about that. I wish you'd talk a little bit more about stocks." Well, if I don't feel it's a good time to be in the stock market, and I don't, although I do hold some long-term positions in the Asian markets, which I have hedged periodically in the North American and European markets, as you know, I want to go where the action is. I've always managed my own money, or really since I had the wherewithal to know there were global markets out there. That goes back to that I could understand, or felt I could at least follow on a chart. And that goes back to 1970. I've been managing my own capital on the basis of a total return hedge fund, in the sense that I can't see any point in staying in one particular category of markets if they're underperforming. And to me, markets are man-made resources. They're for us to harvest when the timing is right. And I feel that the timing is much more interesting in the supply inelasticity area. This that does require trading because it's a very volatile, choppy market, as you have seen. And I've been reacquiring some of the gold that I light where I lightened on, I beg your pardon, some of the silver where I had lightened on a baby steps basis last month and during the first half of this month, and I'm buying a little bit of that back. It's fairly volatile, but it looks to me like it's just seeing a consolidation above the small base that has formed above the big base. So I like that risk-reward ratio, but it's going to be very choppy, as I say, overall. And a couple of my supply inelasticity trades, lead's quite firm in here today. That backwardation continues to widen out. I've been a wee bit nervous about it, less very recently than say a month ago, because it was up near the higher side of its range prior to the and its peak prior to the big sell-off that we saw in the second quarter. So I'd been wondering if I should take that out, but the chart action is just generally good, and it does remain generally good. Up another 14 in here today with the cash market appreciating even further. So that looks okay. That's certainly one of my most profitable positions going right now. Now, dogs of the portfolio department, natural gas, where I've had a number of successful trades this year, fortunately, but my current position had been underwater pretty much from the time I took it on board. But that had a big upward dynamic here today, gained about 2.5%, and that also registered a failed break beneath the $6 level. I may post that chart again soon. I will post that chart again soon, but that's a favorable signal, and although my entry point on it was a bit impulsive, I see no reason to get out at that at this stage, and I held on to it despite the violation of some lateral support near six because of the big underlying base and the primary trend and the firmness of crude oil generally. And that's still fairly firm in here. We're at 41.42 on the spot NYME price. So not all that far off. Well, 60 cents off an upside breakout point for crude, and that would not be good for global stock markets, needless to say. Although it wouldn't do any harm to the natural gas futures position. And orange juice, I posted that chart again today because I know a number of you people still hold that. I ran my stop too tight and then didn't get back in. Took a profit on it, but missed most of the move that we've seen in here to date. But it looks like classic midpoint danger line trailing stop tactic as taught at the chart seminar. And well done, those of you who are still holding that position. And I think that's the other second dog of the portfolio, which is remains very much a dog of the portfolio, the soybean market. Soft again today. It's come back to the $6 level. It's accelerated down a little bit. Now, it is a small position. That doesn't excuse me running the loss on here on it in the short term. Remember my original intention, open a smallish position and probably add to it, but then I didn't like the way it was coming off, so I didn't do anything. I may double up on that, probably not in the September contract. That'll depend on whether the backwardation continues to hold, because the chart doesn't look all that much different from the silver chart. Very different, very different kettle of fish to mix metaphors, but the technical pattern is very, very similar. In other words, a huge multi-year base underneath, explosive move up out of the base, spiking back down, coming back on top of the base. So technically, it's starting to look interesting once again, and I think that's pretty much it. So once again, I will wish you a very good evening.